Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom has been given to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because they look, but do not see. They hear, but do not listen and understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them when he said, 'You shall indeed hear, but not understand. Shall indeed look, but not see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown in the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no roots and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word so that it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to God, Jesus Christ.
Today we have, with the parable of the prodigal son, what I think is one of the most helpful parables, stories that Jesus has given us to understand his action in our life, how we're supposed to respond to him, and also advice for us when we try to spread his kingdom when sometimes we meet resistance. Why that happens. But notice what Jesus says today. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. That's an ancient Jewish way of saying, pay attention. Because Jesus knows that sometimes we pay attention to what he says, and many times we don't. In the middle, after he told the original story with the images, and before he explained it, He gave us why He teaches us in parables. Because parables force us to make a choice of whether we're really going to pay attention or not. Because it uses symbolism, it uses images, and we need to put in the work to understand what those images mean. And it really tests us to see whether we're going to put in that work or whether we're just going to ignore it. And why would we pay attention versus not pay attention? Jesus, using the prophet Isaiah, tells us. Because sometimes we listen because we want our life to change. We know we need God. But there are many other times that we listen in which we don't want Him to change our life. Or we want Him to change it just a little bit in a way that's not really going to threaten what we want to do. So when He uses a parable, He's challenging us to say, what does He mean and what He doesn't mean? And if we're really hungering on His Word, if we really recognize that He speaks with the words of eternal life, then we're going to put in that work to try to understand it. Now let's get into the parable. Jesus is the seed who sows Himself. He describes Himself in St. John as the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies in order to bear great fruit. Jesus is that great gift of the Word that He Himself sows and that He sends us out to sow. But whether we bear fruit or not depends on what type of soil we have. So today Jesus wants us to take a soil sample of the receptivity of our hearts. And He describes four categories of response to Him. And these four categories are always found. First category, those who are stubborn. In the ancient world, they farmed differently than we do today. When we farm today, we first turn up the soil, we fertilize the soil, we'll plant some seeds, we'll put them under the soil, do all the rest of it. In the ancient world, what they did is there were long strips of soil in between hardened dirt that would be the path that you'd walk through. So what they'd do is they'd take a big bag full of seed and then just start scattering it everywhere. And so some would fall on that hardened dirt that would be the paths in between these long tracts of farmland. Jesus says some of us receive the Word of God that way. It hits almost as if it's hitting concrete. It can't penetrate. Who are these types of people? We see them in the Gospel. These are the scribes and the Pharisees, many of them. No matter what Jesus said, no matter what Jesus did to back up His words, curing lepers, making paralyzed people walk again, feeding multitudes with a few small buns and some sardines, walking on water, preaching like nobody had ever preached before, they rejected it. He's casting out demons by the prince of demons. They, no matter what, were going to reject that word. But we still see this type of soil today. Sometimes we see it in inveterate sinners, people who don't want to convert for anything. But a lot of the times we see it in priests and religious and even daily Mass goers. I remember once I was celebrating Mass in a big church. Some people would know that church here, called St. Anthony of Padua in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Fits 2,000 people. One morning for Mass with the daily Mass goers, the power went out in the region. And I had been catching laryngitis, so I was desperately dependent on the microphone. When we lost the power, I just asked everybody, listen, you're not going to be able to hear me if you're in the back. Please move forward, because I can't use a loud voice. You know, there were about 40 people scattered around a church that fits 2,000. A third of the people moved, and two-thirds of the people stayed right where they were, totally in the back. They couldn't hear a peep. It was one of the saddest things I have ever seen in my life. They were coming to daily Mass, and they didn't care really what the Word of God was or what God might say through a priest. They were just coming to get their spiritual vitamin, but they didn't want their life changed. They didn't even want to give God a choice. Sometimes we can be like that. I'm not sure if you've ever heard the expression, I hate this expression. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. What's this mean? That if you reach a certain age, you're not going to change no matter what. So why even try? Sometimes you'll get to churches and they've sat in that same pew for 72 years and they're not going to even move a millimeter. You're not going to teach them anything new. We can be like that sometimes. And especially if we know the Word of God really well. You can almost finish the sentences. You know this. And so you hear it, but you're not really letting it go deep. It kind of bounces off you. And the devil comes and he's very happy to take away the power of the seed of the Word of God. We need to be on guard about this because sometimes we come and this is the way that we receive God's action in our life. We don't really want to put in the work to understand what he's saying. We have ears, but we're not hearing. Second type of soil. Got to understand a little bit about the Holy Land for this to make total sense. Sometimes when we hear about rocky soil, we think about our little sort of garden plot in which we have to pull out the pebbles every once in a while. Something totally different in the Holy Land. In the Holy Land, about 3 to 5 inches underneath the soil, in vast parts of the country, there is this really thick layer of limestone. So you've got a short amount of soil, and then you've got rock underneath it. And so when the water hits that soil and the seed gets in there, the water stays up in those 3 to 5 inches. The seeds get the water at first. It sucks the nitrogen out of the soil and it immediately sprouts up. But then because the soil's so shallow, the roots can't go deep. And they hit that rock and they can't go more deep than that. So what happens? Jesus describes in the Middle Eastern sun when it gets high noon and it's really, really, really hot. I was in the Holy Land once when it was 126 degrees. It gets really, really hot. It just scorches the growth. What's this? Jesus describes them as superficial people. They immediately receive the Word of God with joy. They're happy about it. But they don't let it get deep into their life so that it doesn't really turn their life around. We see these types of people in the gospel. Who are these types of people? They're the people who immediately respond with enthusiasm, but don't persevere. Who are we looking at? The people, for example, who had eaten Jesus' miracle of the multiplication of loaves and fish. They received that gift, they listened to him, and then they followed Jesus all the way along the lip of the Sea of Galilee to where he had disembarked on the other side of Capernaum, wanting more. They seemed to be hungry, but Jesus says, "You're not really following me because you've heard the word, but because you've eaten your fill of the loaves." And as soon as Jesus said something difficult that day, "Unless you gnaw on my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no life in you," that's when they all departed. They had initially received what Jesus was doing with joy, but they didn't persevere. Likewise today, we have a lot of superficial people. They judge our faith by whether they like it or not. If they like it, they continue to. If they don't like it, they don't listen. Fulton J. Sheen, the great archbishop who used to preach here, he preached a lot of retreats. And because he was so eloquent, so many people would come up to him at the end and say, "Wow, Excellency, I have never heard someone preach with the power that you have preached with. That was extraordinary. That was incredible. Thank you, thank you, thank you." He didn't account it worth anything. He judged the success of every retreat on the basis of which he would get the people on that retreat to make and keep one resolution: to spend an hour with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament each day. No matter what compliments they gave him, if he wasn't able to get them to make Jesus the priority of their life each day, he didn't think that he had succeeded at all. Many times we have those lack of roots too. And when any difficulty comes up in the practice of our faith, we pretend as if we're not Catholic. We don't really live our faith. Jesus today wants to help us to jackhammer through that subterranean limestone in our life so that we can bear fruit. But that's the second type of receptivity. When we're just looking at it at the level of our pleasures, whether we like it or not, rather than even if we hate it. Like Jesus' words, that we've got to deny ourselves, pick up our cross every day and follow him on the way of the cross all the way to heaven. Those aren't sweet sounding words. It's not an easy reality. But whether we like it or not, if we're listening effectively, we'll start to do it. And then we will find, when we put love into it, that those burdens are light and sweet, but not before. Third type of soil, Jesus says, is thorny soil. And again, you'd put the seed all over the place and it would hit otherwise good soil. It could grow up and bear great fruit, but there are also thorn bushes there. And the thorn bushes in the Holy Land grow very fast, and they suck up all the nutrients of the soil. And so instead of bearing great fruit, basically all you get are thorns and little fruit. We see these types of people in the Gospels. We see it in the rich young man, right? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, keep the commandments. And he says, I've kept them from my youth. What more do I lack? And Jesus says, what you lack is you have too much. If you really wish to be perfect, if you wish to be fulfilled, if you want to have it all, go sell all that you have and come follow me and you'll have great riches in heaven. And even though enthusiastically he'd approached Jesus before, he walked away holding on to his stuff rather than holding on to Jesus' hand. And it points to a central lesson that Jesus says. That the thorns are not fundamentally sins. Sins would obviously choke the growth of the seed in us. But Jesus doesn't talk about sins here. He could have, but he didn't. He talked about worldly cares and anxieties, the lure of riches and pleasure. Rich young man had the lure of riches and he couldn't let him go. We meet many people with thorns in their soil today, and whenever we come to listen to the Word of God, we should always begin by saying, what thorns are in my life? Some worldly cares and anxieties aren't bad things. If your mother were on her deathbed right now, it would be very difficult for you to listen carefully to the Word of God because you'd be filled with anxiety about your mother. It doesn't always have to be that type of a care. If what you're thinking about right now because your stomach is grumbling is what you're going to be having for breakfast, it can choke the growth of the seed of the Word within you. Other anxieties. What am I going to do with my future? Where am I going to get the help to pay this bill? Am I going to be transferred down to Antarctica in a sari? Sometimes those are there. And where there's otherwise good soil, the growth can't happen. So we always need to ask, do I have any worldly cares and anxieties? Do I have too much of a draw for pleasure or too much of an aversion to pain that I don't really focus on what Jesus is doing and saying to me now? And then the last soil sample Jesus describes It's what he calls here rich soil, but elsewhere good soil or fruitful soil. And he says something extraordinary about this type of soil. Notice that he doesn't merely say it bears fruit. It does bear fruit. But he uses big biblical numbers. It bears 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit. In other words, when we listen to the Word of God well, when we listen with good soil, when Jesus sows Himself and His words into our life, it should be changing our life big time, as Donald Trump says. Big time! 30, 60, 100 ways or more. Not necessarily all at once. But it should be having a major impact in our life. Pope Benedict, almost 10 years ago, wrote a beautiful exhortation on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the Church. And in it, he had a beautiful section on how the saints respond to the Word of God. Saint Anthony of the Desert, one day in the 4th century, heard a homily about selling all that you have and giving the money to the poor and you'll be rich in heaven and then come follow me. And guess what he did? He went out and he sold all that he had except a little part that he gave for the care of his sister and then went out into the desert to follow Jesus. He responded like that. In the 13th century, a young man named Giovanni Bernardone, who's famous today as St. Francis of Assisi, went to church and he heard the gospel saying that when you're going out, it was the gospel of this last week at daily mass, don't have a second tunic, carry no money bag, no set of sandals on your feet, etc. And Francis took those words literally and he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The saints respond to the Word of God as the Word of life. And the greatest of all is the one who let the Word take her own flesh, Mary. She's the model for all of us on how we hear the Word of God, we allow it totally to change us. Then we're able to give that word to the world. In Isaiah's first reading today, he talks about the power of the word to change. That as his word goes forth from the heavens, it doesn't return to him empty, but it fulfills the purpose for which he sent it. And that's what happened when Mary, with her pure, receptive heart, received the word. You know, when you look at the ancient artwork, when it depicts how Mary conceived Jesus within, we know that that was a miraculous conception by the power of the Holy Spirit. She didn't conceive Jesus the way every other woman has ever conceived a child. But the art showed the Holy Spirit's impregnating Mary through her ear. The Holy Spirit is coming in through the ear because she was listening with faith. And the early saints said, today's the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, by the way, which is why I'm making an application to Mary, in case you're not following. That when the Holy Spirit came within and she conceived that word, she got pregnant. And that word began to grow and change her life. And eventually she gave it to the world. And St. Ambrose, the great 4th century doctor of the church, said that symbolizes the whole way we're supposed to respond to the word. That when Jesus says in another part of the gospel that those who hear the word of God and put it into practice are my mother and my brothers and my sister, St. Ambrose said the way we become mother to Jesus, the Word of God, is the same way Mary does, that we conceive through our ears the Word within us. And then that Word begins to grow so big, it becomes so much of a part of our life that, like we have in today's second reading with St. Paul, we groan in labor pains until we share that Word with others. The Spanish have a great way of saying give birth. Anybody know? Dar a luz, right? To give to the light. And when we're really pregnant with the Word of God, when it's bearing fruit, it starts to grow in us such that we can't hold it in. we start to say like St. Paul, woe to me if I don't share the gospel, if I don't try to implant that same word I have received in others' soil. And that's what we can learn from Mary how to do. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. Today Jesus has given us a parable. He's tried to explain the parable. But if we've got really good soil, we're going to let today's gospel really start to change our life. I want to just give you a quick little test. And we can put the sisters on the spot as well. Okay? If we really listen to the Word of God effectively, we'll start to see fruit of how much it changes our life. So, let's give a little test. Did last week's gospel change your life? Who can tell me what last week's gospel was? Should I start randomly calling on sisters? I know some of them are too humble to just blurt out the answer. I won't put anybody on the spot because I'm in a good mood today. It was all about Jesus' words to come to Him, take His yoke, His meek and humble of heart. A little bit of an easier test. What was today's response, Earl Psalm? Don't look at the board. I'll notice every cheater. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. If we were really praying those words and letting them sink, it would change us. Why do I go through this? Because later on in the day, I want you to ask, what was the second reading about today? Because if we were listening with good soil, it's going to bear a little fruit. What does it mean, the redemption of our bodies? We'll struggle with it, we'll grip it. Tomorrow, we'll start to ponder what Isaiah said in the first reading. And like the rain, or the next time it rains, we're going to think about how we're supposed to be that soil that sucks up the rain as if we're in the desert. The rain of the Word of God. Maybe on Thursday, we'll return and we'll ask, what type of soil do I have today? Am I hardened and stubborn? Am I superficial? Am I full of worldly cares and anxiety and lure of riches or fear of pain? Or what fruit am I bearing? And then we'll keep going on so that our whole life will be commentaries on the Word of God we've received and that the Lord calls us to share. One last application here, very brief. A lot of the times we struggle in life because, and we're so upset, and I hear it as a priest all the time, because we try to share the faith with others and it just doesn't stick. So many grandmothers worry about their kids and their grandkids. So many friends worry about the direction of their peers. They try so hard to share Jesus with them, and the others don't respond well. Sometimes it's not our fault at all. We know that the seed who is Jesus is perfect. We can sow the best possible way. But sometimes people respond to us with these first three soil samples rather than with good, faithful soil. What should our response be? Try to help take out those thorns. Try to get through those underground rocky layers and to start turning up that soil. To pay attention to the context in which we're preaching so that others may have a chance to be able to hear the word that will save their life. And so when we do encounter that, the ancient farmers didn't stop sowing. They just kept sowing and trying to make better soil. And that's encouragement for us. As we come forward to this Mass, the same Jesus who has sown His Word is about to sow Himself in our soil. And He's capable on the inside of us, not just of changing our life forever today, but through our faithful receptivity, changing the whole history of the world like He did with Mary. Let's let Him do this. St. Jerome, the early doctor of the church, said that if one of the hosts fell from the altar,
to the floor, all of us who really love Jesus would immediately go and pick Jesus up, make sure that nobody would step on him, make sure there were even no particles on the floor, and purify the whole thing, as we should. But St. Jerome said, if one of the sentences of the word of the Lord fell to the ground, would we respond in the same way? Do we listen attentively to every word that comes from the mouth of God? That's one of the reasons why the church always makes a connection between what happens here and what happens there. The verbum domini and the verbum caro factum est. The word of the Lord and the word made flesh. Today, let's respond to this double way Jesus loves us, with soil like Our Lady of Mount Carmel, like St. Teresa, St. Francis, St. Anthony, and so many of those who have passed on to us the gift of the Word of God. Let him who has ears hear. Praise be Jesus Christ.